Well, let's turn our attention to thoughts regarding evangelism this morning as we think about this very succinct statement: baptism saves. And you might be thinking, well, where in the world does the Bible say that? And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, is 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. You know, there are many in the religious world who do not believe this statement. They do not believe that baptism saves. But Peter says very clearly that baptism does save us in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. And Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words. And so let's think about these verses for just a minute. And just in case you're thinking, well, Kevin, maybe you're using a different translation than everyone else is, or maybe there's translations out there that say something different. Well, I just want to go through a few translations here that talk about this. So first of all, look at the King James Version. "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Now, this might be a little repetitive, but just bear with me for a moment as we look at these different translations of this verse. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the New King James Version: "There is also an antitype, which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." What about the American Standard Version of 1901? "Which also after a true likeness doth now save you, even baptism, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." What about the Christian Standard Bible? "Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." The Revised Standard Version says, "Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a clear conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And the New International Version says, "And this water symbolizes baptism, that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." God's Word translation says, "Baptism, which is like that water, now saves you." Baptism doesn't save by removing dirt from the body. Rather, baptism is a request to God for a clear conscience. It saves you through Jesus Christ, who came back from death to life. And then the English Standard Version: "Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So you can see that these multiple translations all say the same thing, that baptism saves. And that is something that we want to think about this morning. So what is this verse talking about? Well, there's three things we want to think about. First of all, baptism is an antitype, and it is for salvation. And we're going to talk about what is an antitype, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Secondly, baptism is Christ's method of salvation, and we'll talk about why Peter even says this to begin with. And then third, we'll say that baptism is man's response for salvation. It's something that it's how we respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ to be saved. So let's look at these three things. First of all, baptism is an antitype for salvation. Well, what is an antitype? It is a corresponding or similar pattern. It's a reflection, if you will. And in this passage, in 1 Peter chapter 3, it's the waters of the flood that are being compared to baptism. Look at verse 20. It says, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah. And so it's talking about Noah and the great flood that's in the Old Testament. And it says, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls were saved through water. And so eight souls were saved through water in the time of Noah. And Peter is saying that baptism is the antitype to that salvation. And so he says, there is also an antitype, which now saves us, baptism. And so baptism saves, like the waters of the great flood saved Noah and his family. And so that's what is being compared. That's the corresponding item. That is the similar pattern that we're looking at here. And Peter calls the water of baptism the antitype of the flood water. And that water saved eight souls, as we mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. And how did it save them? It saved those eight souls from a corrupted earth. In Genesis 6 and verse 12, it says that God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And so that Noah and his family would not be corrupted, God sent a great flood, and it saved that family from corruption. And so baptism also acts in the same way today. It saves us from a sinful world. John describes that sinful world in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lusts of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And so baptism saves us from this sinful world, just as it saved Noah from a sinful world. And so that means that baptism is then the dividing line between the saved and the lost, between the Christian and the non-Christian, between the saint and the sinner. And that's exactly what Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 through 6 says about baptism. Notice what Paul writes there. He says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So baptism is that dividing line. Prior to baptism, we were an old sinful person. We had a body of sin. We were slaves of sin. We walked in that old life. But after baptism, what happened? We were united with Christ in the likeness of his death so that we could be raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, so that we could walk in the newness of life. You see, that's the dividing line between sin and righteousness is baptism. That's what Paul says here in Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 through 6. And as we think about baptism, baptism saves us. That's what Peter says explicitly in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And so baptism is an antitype. It's like Noah was saved from the sinful world through the waters of the flood. We are saved from sin through baptism. But then secondly, baptism is Christ's method for salvation. A lot of people want to, how can you say that baptism saves us when Christ saves us? Some people have said that. Well, let's think about that for a minute, because Christ was the one who commanded baptism to begin with. You know, Peter received his teaching that he taught here in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, where he says, baptism saves us. He got that teaching from Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave Peter that teaching by way of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And so when Peter writes, baptism saves us, that is something the Holy Spirit brought to his mind, because that was what Christ taught Peter. And where did Peter remember that? Maybe he was remembering Jesus' teaching before his resurrection there in Matthew 28 and 18 through 20, where Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Maybe he remembered Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, where Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Maybe he remembered John chapter 3 and verse 5, where Jesus says, except you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, whatever it was, we know that Jesus told Peter at one point that baptism saves us, because Peter wrote that down for us today in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Well, if you believe what Peter said here, then you believe that when you were baptized, you were saved. But if you believe you were saved before you were baptized, then you've got a disagreement with Peter. You see, because Peter says, no, no, you're saved when you're baptized. Baptism saves us. We can't be saved before baptism. We can only be saved after baptism, because baptism saves. Now, how is it that baptism can save and Christ can save at the same time? Well, think about this. In Noah's time, God was the authority and power that saved Noah. And he told Noah, I'm going to bring this great flood, and it's going to save you and your family from this sinful world. And the water then was the method that God used to do that. He didn't have to use water. He could have used some other method to save Noah from that sinful world of that day and time. But God chose a specific method, and he chose the method of water to do that. And the ark was then the place that Noah and his family were saved, because that was the safe haven from the great flood. Well, today, under Christ, we see that Christ and his blood are the authority and the power that saves. Yet water in baptism is the method that Christ chose. Christ could have chose some other method to save us, but he didn't. He chose baptism. And just like God chose water to save Noah, so Christ chose baptism for people to be saved today. And as a result, when one is baptized, he is added to the Lord's church, according to Acts chapter 2, and the church is in the place that saves today. And so this is Christ's method for salvation. Well, some people might ask, well, wasn't baptism just for the Jews? Well, Peter's comparison goes further back than just the Jews. Noah was not a Jew. Noah was before the time of Abraham. The flood applied to the whole world. Correspondingly, in the New Testament, we see that baptism wasn't just for Jews, but also for Gentiles. Cornelius and all of his family in Acts chapter 10 were not Jews. They were Gentiles, and Peter commanded them to be baptized in Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, I believe it was. It could have been 46. And Gentiles, also like the Philippian jailer, were commanded to be baptized. And his story can be found in Acts chapter 16. And so you see, baptism wasn't just for Jews. It was also for Gentiles. But then let's look at a third point here that Peter makes. And that is this, that baptism is man's response for salvation. Notice he says here in verse 21, it's not the removal of the filth of the flesh. It's not washing dirt off the body, as many of the other translations said. That's not what baptism is. It's not taking a bath to get clean, right? That's not what baptism is. It's also not the Jewish practice of immersion to wash away ceremonial uncleanness. They had all kinds of rituals in that day and time, and many of them were designed to make one ceremonially clean so that one could enter the temple. Peter's including that in his thoughts also. It's not ceremonially to wash away the ceremonial uncleanness so that one could enter into the temple. But baptism is to save. That is, it saves from sin. It saves us from a life of evil and wickedness. Baptism, at the time of baptism, we are forgiven of sins, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And that means that for baptism to save, one needs to have the right attitude and understanding of baptism. One can't just jump into a swimming pool and think that, well, because he's dived into a swimming pool, that he's been baptized. That's not what baptism is. Baptism is an understanding. It's a response. That's what Peter's talking about. It's an answer, the answer of a good conscience toward God. The conscience must be right. The thinking must be right. And when one is baptized appropriately, one understands what the Bible teaches about God and Christ and the church and baptism. And all of those things play into understanding that. And you see, when one understands what the Bible teaches about baptism, it's a command of God. It's for the remission of sins. It's to separate us from sin so that we can live a righteous and holy life. When one understands that God has commanded these things, that Christ has commanded these things, then one's conscience is going to kick in. And one's conscience is going to say, I need to be baptized in order to be saved. And the conscience that does not say that is a conscience that isn't operating properly for some reason. Maybe it doesn't really believe that Christ taught baptism. Maybe it doesn't believe what Peter said here, that baptism saves. But that conscience that is good is going to accept the words of the Holy Spirit and are going to let those words of the Holy Spirit move on his life and change his life so that he says, my conscience is demanding of me that I be baptized in order to be saved. You see, that's what Peter is talking about here. He's talking about the response or the answer or the demand of a good conscience. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. And there's some other things that baptism is not. Also, baptism is not John the Baptist's baptism. Because in Acts chapter 19, there were a group of men, 12 men there, who were baptized under John the Baptist's baptism. And Paul said, no, that baptism is not valid anymore. You need to be baptized in Christ. It is not a baptism because you are already saved. That's not what baptism is. And you say, well, why is that? Because Peter plainly says, baptism now saves us. You can't be baptized if you're already saved and have baptism save you at the same time. You just can't do that. Baptism is not because to become a member of a local congregation. The Bible never teaches that a person is baptized to become a member of a local congregation. It does not say that. It talks about baptism for forgiveness of sins. It talks about baptism to get one out of the sinful state and into a state of righteousness. It talks about coming to the likeness of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It talks about baptism for salvation. It says baptism saves us, but it never talks about baptism to become a member of a local congregation, and it is not infant baptism. And why is that? Because an infant can't respond with a good conscience. An infant cannot say, oh, I'm being baptized with a good conscience now, and I'm responding with a good conscience. An infant can't respond with a good conscience. An infant doesn't respond much to anything. And so it's not infant baptism either. It's our response, a person's response, an adult's response that has a good conscience, who understands what the command is and how to follow it. And that's what baptism is. And so baptism is the answer or the demand or the response of a good conscience toward God. And some have said, well, what is a good conscience? If a person has a good conscience, then isn't he already saved? Well, why did Peter say that baptism saves then if he's already saved? You see, those two things don't go together. You can't have be saved and have baptism and need to be baptized to save you at the same time. The answer of a good conscience, what is a good conscience? A good conscience is someone who acts honestly on the information that is given. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, Jesus gives us an example of a good conscience. He says that in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bring forth fruit with patience. A good conscience is someone who is honest. A good conscience is someone who has a good heart, who's going to listen to God's word and respond to it. And when a person learns that he must be baptized to be saved, he then will do that with that honest and good heart. But those who have a bad conscience or have a dishonest heart are not going to so respond. And so these are some things that baptism is not. And the idea then is that a good conscience demands that we take action to obey God when it is commanded of God. And baptism is a command. Acts 2:38, Peter commanded them, repent and be baptized. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, there Peter said to Cornelius, or he commanded them to be baptized. Baptism isn't just a good idea. It's a command of God. We must obey it. And the question we must ask is, how will we respond to this of God's commands? God saves us through baptism today. Baptism saves. It is an antitype of the waters of the flood. And the waters of the flood save Noah and his family. And so baptism saves us today. It is Christ's method for salvation, because Jesus Christ preached baptism and he commanded baptism. And it is our response in regard to salvation. What must I do to be saved? Should my response be toward that question? What must I do to be saved? And the answer can only be, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. It is Christ's method for salvation today. And so baptism saves us. And that's what Peter says here in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Maybe there's someone here this morning who would like to be baptized to be saved. We would be happy to help you with that. Or maybe there's someone here this morning who would like to study more about these matters. We'd be happy to sit down with you and talk to you about this and many other things. And if there's something that we can do for you this morning, we invite you to come forward and make it known right now while together we stand and while we sing.